Linda and tribe.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 as we start off this morning. You know this already, but I want to tell you, the family in our world, in our country, is in trouble. It's in danger of becoming extinct, a kind of an interesting display in a museum. Family, here it is. Why? Because mankind is functioning apart from the blueprint instruction of God's word. The most heartbreaking thing of all is that there is a generation in this generation that there's an attitude that the church, and I'm talking very broadly when I say the church, that what we think and feel drives our responses. You know, that's what I feel. That's what I think. Since when? I thought objective truth from the scriptures was our guide for faith and practice. May this church never depart from that. No matter what else is going on around the world, this church must continue to believe. This book holds objective, absolute truth. The Bible says that God made man. Out of man, he made woman. He instituted marriage and the family, and he did so with specific roles and responses so that when lived out, will produce the possibility of a harmonious, effective unit upon which churches and countries could be built. When the family disintegrates, as we are seeing happening in our society, it threatens the very existence of a powerful church and a powerful country. One of the essential pieces to the plan is the role of mother and the proper honor given to motherhood by society, more specifically by her family and her children. And I just want to mention four things this morning, and we're not going to go long. I know some of you have, you know, reservations at the restaurant, or the roast is in the oven or in the crock pot and you need to get there and eat it. In fact, the more I talk about it, we just may say amen and go home. But we won't. We want to say these things because I think they're important today. Why do we honor mothers or motherhood? Number one, because God commanded it. Your turn to Exodus chapter 20, and I want you to notice the first words of chapter 20 of Exodus. And God spoke all these words. He spoke them to Moses. Moses passed them on. God spoke. You know that there are many generations or many voices that can be heard in the world. But when God says it, that settles it. We often as parents will say, because I said so, that's why you do it. And in most cases, that should be sufficient. However, it is strengthened greatly when we could say, I say so because God says so. And when God says so, there can be no argument about that. Now, Exodus chapter 20 is what we would call the Ten Commandments or God's moral code. As we look through the Pentateuch, we will see that God gives ceremonial laws for the religious practice of Israel and so forth. That's not what we practice today. That was for Israel. There were the civil laws that were given to Israel so they might function as a community, as a nation, and so forth. And that's not our laws, and yet many of our laws are based on that. Then there's the moral code. And the moral code is repeated with the exception of one in the New Testament. And it's a moral code for today. It shows us how God thinks, on the moral level, and it's for us to honor. And without it, it's difficult to answer the question why. There's a lot of questions that come our way that we have no answer. But with it, we can say, because God said. It's interesting, as we look at the Ten Commandments, nine of them tell us not to do something. You ever think about that? Nine of them, you know, it says, you're not to have any other gods before me. Don't make any idols. Don't use God's name in vain. Don't labor on the Sabbath day. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Don't. No, no, no. But there's one that says it in the positive, and that's the fifth commandment, and it's found in verse 12 when it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. It's also repeated in the New Testament. And if you turn to Ephesians, if you want to turn there, otherwise I'm just going to read it when I find it. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It's a command, by the way. This is a command to be obeyed. It's interesting, the word honor. I looked at Quick Verse Bible Dictionary, and this has a very suspect definition for honor. To honor your mother, it says to make heavy or weighty. And I thought, I don't know whether I like that. I think that's maybe where we get take them out to dinner afterwards. I'm not sure. Webster would say to respect greatly, to show high regard for. Another Bible dictionary would say to prize, to care, to show respect or reverence for. And the reward for that, it says it's the first commandment with promise. You obey this, there's something that is attached to that command. One is quantitative. It says that your days may be long. And secondly, that your day, that it may, it's qualitative, that it may be well with you. The potential for a harmonious life is greatly enhanced when you honor father and mother. Kind of runs contrary to today's culture, where youth is worshiped and old age is somewhat despised. So first of all, we honor motherhood. We honor our mothers because it's commanded to do so. Secondly, holiness demands it as well. If you'd look with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. We get the mind of the Lord as he speaks to Moses here and to the children of Israel, ultimately, when he says this in Leviticus 19, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Right in the context of saying, be holy, for I'm holy, he's saying, revere, honor, respect father and mother. Holiness, most of the time when we think of holiness, we immediately think about purity from sin. But actually, the greater definition of holiness is sacred or set apart or uniquely different. We are to be uniquely different than the world as believers in Jesus Christ, as God is uniquely different from the gods of this world. that can't speak, that have no power, that can do nothing for you, that are just dead idols of stone or metal or whatever it might be. So we are to be uniquely different. Now, interestingly, you don't need to turn here, but 1 Peter chapter 1 mentions this about holiness again, but I want you to see the context of it. Chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts as in your ignorance." In other words, before you got saved, you had certain lusts and desires that caused you to behave in certain ways. Now that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, different, not the same, uniquely different from the world. And then he goes on to say, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because as is written, be holy for I am holy." So we put that into the context of how we behave or treat our mothers or motherhood. Uniquely different than maybe the world that says motherhood's not such a big deal anymore. Career is more important. And all of those kinds of things. We say, no. The Bible says motherhood is extremely important. Very valuable. And so think of it in a unique way, different than this world. One who treats mother with respect will likely, it's a foundational relational issue here. How you treat your mother is likely the way you're going to treat others. And when I counsel young people to be married, and so when they're thinking about getting married and so forth, I'll say, you need to check out how the one you're thinking of marrying, how does that person treat their mother? Because the likelihood that they're going to treat you in the same way eventually, not initially during this romance stage, but when reality hits in, the way they treat their mother is the way they're going to probably treat you. It's a good gauge. So it's foundational. A third thing, not only is commanded and holiness demands it, but dishonor is hated by God. And you see that throughout Scripture. Exodus 21, verse 15, you don't need to turn there. It says, "He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Wow. That sounds pretty strong. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 through 21, it talks about stubbornness of the child and rebellion and all that sort of thing. And they are told to bring them out into the common area of the community and stone them to death. That gives an idea of what God thinks about dishonoring parents. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20 says, "Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." And it's hard. We discussed this in Sunday school about Babylon being put into darkness and that type of thing. The one thing we know is it's not good. God is saying, we would say it in common language, colloquial language, we would say, "We're going to punch your light out." Does that sound good? Not good. God is basically saying, you curse, treat your mom and dad in such a way like that, is I'm going to punch your light out. Put your light out, and you'll be put out into deep darkness. It deserves the worst kind of punishment, is the idea. Here's one that all of us are a little common, maybe done it ourselves, but Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17 says, "The eye that mocks and scorns," you know what that is? I mean, it's a... Have you ever seen a child do that? Have you ever done that? Rolled your eyes? Well, it's a symbol of rebellion and dishonor. And it says, "The ravens will pick out your eyes. Young eagles will eat it." The idea is God will severely punish that kind of attitude toward parents, toward mother. Wow. It makes it vividly clear that it's right to honor our mothers and desperately wrong to dishonor. A fourth thing, believe it or not, and we're going to be done. And again, I would put the qualifier on, you understand that this runs through the grid of the things that I said right at the beginning of the service when I say she deserves it. She deserves it for several reasons. She hurts for us. Mothers hurt for their children. In childbirth, the Bible says, in sorrow she brings forth children. Childbirth itself. In childhood, moms wince in pain when we hurt as their children. They fear when children are in danger. They soothe our wounds when we're hurt. Now, dads are different, aren't we? I mean, my kids came to me with blood running all over. I just wipe it off, put a Band-Aid on it, say, get back in there. Mothers don't do that. Oh, you poor thing. You don't. He hurts and hurts for them and stuff. Get in there. Quit treating them like a patsy here. Go on in there. And mothers don't do that. She hurts for us in our foolishness. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:1, a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Now, isn't that interesting? It doesn't say of his father. It says of his mother. It's interesting, in other places in the Bible, it says the Holy Spirit grieves when his children disregards his teaching. Grieving is often connected to death or a dying process. And someone who is foolish is ruining their lives. Mothers rejoice with us in various things. In Proverbs, I want to turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 24 and 25 says this, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. She rejoices when you're doing the right thing. When you're righteous. Now, there's two dimensions to that. One is none of us are righteous in ourselves, so our mothers especially rejoice when we trust as their children, trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, turn our lives over to Him, and walk with the Lord. And so salvation, but also godly living. When we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, our parents, our mothers, rejoice with us. And it says not only that we're righteous, but that we're wise. And wisdom has the idea of making proper application of the teachings that we have received in life application. And so making right choices, walking with the Lord, walking wisely, our mothers rejoice. You can honor your mother best by being righteous and wise. And they look and say, that's my son. That's my daughter. They love the Lord. They're walking with the Lord. What a great way to honor your mother. So in conclusion, we salute you, mothers. We know that it is a tremendous job. It's tremendously powerful, tremendously needed in our world today. Godly mothers who will raise children to the glory of God. Because it's commanded, number one, we honor you and salute you, and it's imperative to our own personal holiness, and God is displeased when we dishonor. And in a general sense, we would say you deserve it. We make this invitation. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we encourage you to do that for your own personal benefit of walking with the Lord, knowing your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven and you have Christ with you, walking with you in this life. But it also will help you to be the best mother you can possibly be. Because when you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes to live in you to help you, to strengthen you, to give you wisdom and empower you to do what God asks you to do. Frankly, it's impossible for us to truly live the Christian life without the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who empowers us to carry out what we're asked to do as believers. He's the one who empowers you as a mother to be the kind of mother that the Bible says you ought to be. And so none of us are capable of doing what God wants us to do in our own strength. I encourage you today, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, talk to one of us and we'll help you to know that before you leave today, because that's essential to being the kind of mother that you want to be and that God wants you to be. A second thing that I would encourage is this, and that is confession. Not public, but privately. You might say, I have not honored or treated my mother the way I should. Well, you know something, you can talk to God about that. If you have sinned against God and your mother, you can talk to both of them if your mother is still living. If not, you talk to God about it, commit it to Him, and He'll forgive you of that. And you start afresh and anew. It's a wonderful thing to know that we can confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's a great thing to do. We're constantly in need of doing that. We're constantly, not just today on Mother's Day, but at any time we come to the Scriptures, we see things that we're not accomplishing the way we ought, and we say, God, please forgive me. Today's no exception to that. And if you need to do that, or as a mother, you say, listen, I feel like I'm coming up short. Well, what mother has not felt that, right? But if you say, there's some things I've neglected and whatever, you need to talk to God about that. Ask God for help to just do the right thing as you move into the future. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open Scripture today and just see once again what your word has said, what we ought to do, what we ought not to do, the attitudes of our hearts, what they ought to be. And Lord, how we can improve our relationships. And we know that one of the most important things is to have the right relationship with our moms and dads and with our children. And Lord, we pray that you would help us in that. God, we are weak in so many ways and we need your help. We thank you that when we trust Christ, we have the Spirit of God living in us to help us to live out what you would want us to. Forgive us when we fail you in these areas, and we often do. God, please help us to have a new blank slate that we could start anew and afresh, and that we might live righteously and wisely for your honor and glory, first of all, and to the honor of our parents as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name.